Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to this week's episode of Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts, Amelia.
And Beth.
And today we have a lot of fun stuff happening. But to begin, Beth, I am so excited that it's fall is here.
I know, it's Labor Day weekend. This is so terrific.
I know. I feel like I need to issue a public apology to all those people who decorate for Christmas the day after Thanksgiving or right before it. Because for years I've been those people are insane. I couldn't understand it, but we're recording this before Labor Day and I got pumpkin stuff on my table. I've already been to a cornfield. I have fall color nail polish on.
It's a really fabulous color.
Thank you. And even when I got it done, the lady at the nail salon started laughing. She's like, oh, someone's ready for fall. I was like, sure am.
All I want to hear is good choice.
Yeah, well, it's really, whatever. Right into the show, this is happening to you too. But in the Metro West area of Massachusetts, whenever I go to get my nails done, at four different places this has happened in the last 3 years, four different places, I will pick out a color and they will tell me no and give me a different color because they say it will look better.
Is it close to the one that you picked?
No.
Does it look better than the one you picked?
No.
So you don't go back to that place?
Not usually.
Yeah, I wouldn't go back there. I have a place that I always go to, and they always do a fabulous job. And I
went to that place, and they did do a fabulous job, but that's another time. Okay, so anyway, we're doing something really cool and interesting today, Beth.
No.
Yes.
I thought we did really, lame, boring things on our podcast.
Sometimes, but not this time.
No, of course our podcast is always fun, and it's always interesting. And look. There is someone in the waiting room ready to come in.
Let him in.
Okay.
So today we are so excited to bring on a guest. And that is Dave McCullough. And he is a Bigfoot hunter enthusiast. And so Dave has had a lifelong interest in Sasquatch and starting in 2004 began actively going on expeditions. He was a member of the Northeast Sasquatch Researchers Association, the NESRA, and is currently a member of Squatchachusetts and the BFRO, Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. So Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Nice to be here.
So Squatchachusetts is so cool. And when I met you guys before, you gave me so much swag. And I love it. And I have a Bigfoot Crossing sticker on my car now. And everyone comments on it.
Yeah, that's a popular one.
I love it. Yes.
We run out of those stickers a lot.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So why don't you start by telling us what got you into looking for Bigfoot?
Well, I had an interest in it when I was a kid watching In Search Of and some of a lot of the 70s stuff. And then the Patterson film, after seeing the Patterson film, I got more and more interested. And then probably in the 90s when the internet exploded, you were able to read reports, actual sighting reports. And it really opened my eyes to how widespread it is and common, actually. And there's still a lot of people that don't come forward. So imagine the percentage. There's a lot of people that've seen it, but they're in denial. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to get laughed at.
Yes.
And so I just started reading reports, got really hooked on it. And I saw ads for I want to go out one of these things. So I went in the BFRO expedition in 2004 in New York, Whitehall, New York. And there's a long history there from going way back, a lot of sightings up there. And so I went there, got my foot wet, and I really, really got hooked because I'm trying to be out with people that do this. Sorry about the noise.
That's okay.
Live in the city, so I'd have to deal with that. Sorry.
That's so funny because I actually thought it sounded like a dirt bike.
That's what it is.
Somebody drives a dirt bike by your house in the city?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you can hear them going up the other, and that's all they're doing. It is what it is.
Yeah.
That's why Bigfoots avoid people.
Well, hopefully yes. They're wearing a helmet and they're safe. Sorry. So 2004, you're in Whitehall, New York.
Yep. Went the next year following, then I went up a few years on my own and had some really interesting experiences and was pretty convinced. I still haven't seen one with my eyes, but we call it Class A, but I've had four Class Bs, which are vocalizations, any kind of stick breaking, stick tossing. We call them trees pushed over. When you'll hear a tree shaking, and it'll literally snap and slam into the ground. I've had that twice. And two really good vocalizations. So four things have happened since in all those years. So it's wow. Not a high batting average, but it's still fun to get out.
So when a tree snaps, that's exactly what it sounds like. It like down near the base of the tree, it just falls over on yeah. its own?
Well, one of them we couldn't see it because it was pitch dark out. And it was probably 20 yards in the trees next to us. Well, we heard it loud and clear. We heard the snap. Actually, you can hear the bending and the bowing. You can actually, I can't imitate it, but it's like, you can hear it kind of bending and cracking. And then it just, mm-hmm. a snap, and it slams into the ground with a pretty hard force. And there's not too many other animals out there that can do that. And again, that's what adds to the mystery. And you're so close, but you get so far away from it. It's like right there.
So my initial gut is I want to ask, like, why is Bigfoot knocking trees down? But I think we even need to start back further than that, which is, what do you think the Sasquatch is?
Well, that's a tough one. There's a lot of different theories on it. I think it's just an undiscovered, more like us, actually. I think it's actually more of a humanoid being than it is a animal, but it's got characteristics of both, and I think it's more of a person that lives like an animal, lives out in the wild and fends for itself, and because they've had some really good recordings over the years of you can actually hear them talking and communicating more than just grunts and hollers. Mostly they'll play the hollers or the screams. But there's actually recordings out there of them going back and forth talking. The Sierra sounds, I don't know if you ever heard of that, but those are from the 70s up in Lake Tahoe region. Sierras, up in the Sierras. And they've been proven they weren't faked. They've been scrutinized by so many scientific and academics that they just can't debunk them. And they're actually going back and forth syllables, but a lot of people report that when they hear it, they call it samurai chatter or gibberish. And I don't want to sound funny, but if you listen to these recordings, there's actually quite a few from Canada that it's actually what it is. It's almost like a Shrek to me or a Hobbit. Hmm. Just something that lives out there by itself, avoids people. And does everything it can to keep you away, like the tree shaking, tree snapping, you know, rocks getting tossed towards you. They never hit you, but they'll throw them pretty close. Enough so you just want to get out of there, and that's what they're doing. That's what kind of leads me to it being human and an animal by the intimidation. A lot of apes and primates, that's their prime, stick throwing, rock throwing, banging on trees. That's, well, they just want you out of there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, is Bigfoot, is it like limited to Northern America? Because you hear about it a lot in like the northern part of the United States.
You hear about it in Canada. Bigfoot, yeah, I think of like Montana, Idaho.
Actually, like, it's pretty widespread through the country. Except for like the flat plain states. And if you look on maps or geographical maps where there's no forest, that's where there's no sightings. Like, is that a coincidence or the hoaxers don't want to go where there's no trees, you know? But actually it's a global phenomena. It's all around the world. This ain't just here. It's China, Russia, the Alps, the Yeti, even some of the islands, South America, they call it the Mapinguari, which means, you know, man in the woods is, I think something to that. Mm-hmm. They've even found, you ever hear of the, Indonesia, the Hobbit? They, actually discovered a Hobbit person. They know it was like, just like a Bigfoot, but only 3 or 4 feet tall. But same thing, hairy, long arms.
With the furry feet and everything? Like a Hobbit?
Yep.
When was this?
Homo forensis. I want to say, at least 10 years ago, I'm guessing. It's a total guess, but it's been out for a while.
And this was in Indonesia?
Sumatra. Actually, it was in Sumatra. They call them over there, they call them the little people.
That's pretty cool. I'll be checking that out. I am, like, the world's biggest Hobbit fan.
Yeah, and it's the same as here. People have seen them on their farms, running across the road, typical sightings, so... It is a global phenomenon. It's not just in North America. It's, they've actually come up with some really good videos in Russia. In the last few years, they got some good videos. China, they have people researching it out there now, and they've had a long history. Just like here, it goes back hundreds of thousands of years, handed down in Native American. And, they have totems, they have baskets and you name it, they have a Sasquatch. And they have totems that depict all the other animals. You know, bear, fish, whales, like, mm-hmm. They have all these different designs. So why would they have one that looks like leans towards a hairy man or an ape, but which they call the hairy man? And there's over 100, there's hundreds of every different tribe or creed had a name for it, which all kind of resembles man of the woods. Stone giants, the stick people, stick Indians. There's just all over the country, all the different Native Americans had a name for it. They've found, cave paintings. There's paintings, not paintings, but, drawings.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That depict the man, the woman, and the small one. They've had the feet. If you look at a typical foot cast, it's the general shape of that. And then there's a small one. So it's to call it hoaxing, it would be a cult that started this hundreds of years ago, and they do this all over the world. So that's when I really started thinking that there's gotta be something to this. I don't think it's a global conspiracy of the greatest hoaxes in the world, and there's no way someone could pull off something like that for so long. And
That's a really good point. That how could it have been going on for centuries and centuries, and nobody's been able to step in and be like, yeah, no, this is nothing.
Yeah, I know people that their families have seen them for generations. They just say, leave them alone. If you see it, don't go near it. Just they don't want to bother you. Just don't go near them. Mm-hmm. That's when they will intimidate you and get you away. Like they kind of want to see you and interact with you, but don't get too close. And because I know people that do have interactions with them on a regular basis, but they keep their distance. And this has taken years and years to build a relationship with the trust. They usually have an area in the tree line where they call it the gifting stump or gifting rock. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll literally bring them stuff. And sure enough, it'll be gone and there'll be something back in its place. It could be anything you'd find walking around through the, something that you'd recognize that don't belong there. Mm-hmm. I can't even think. There's just so golf balls, baseballs, and there's a guy that found them. He said there's not a field for 20 miles. Where'd it come from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of objects like that, marbles, they find a lot of marbles, rocks. Usually what a person would leave is, I know a few that have had peanut butter, the sticky buns. Those are big. They say they like sweets.
Hmm.
They have a real sweet tooth. And certain things they won't touch, though. But all the food they take, and a guy put up bananas were the only thing it wouldn't touch. So the next time he did it, he actually put the bunch there, and he peeled one open. So that then they were gone.
Interesting.
In the case, a couple years ago in Kentucky, the guy that was leaving peanut butter had always find the jar taken off, all the peanut butter gone, and the jar put back on. So some with hands. And he actually did it this time with Nutella, a jar of Nutella. And it didn't know what to make of it, but it took the lid off, and it just stuck his fingers down straight in it. Put the cap back on and left. So the guy was smart enough. He froze it, and he actually made a cast out of it. I wish I had it here to show you, but it's an actual cast of three giant fingers sticking in it. I could barely get three fingers in it. But there really is a lot of evidence that they can. Sure, there's no body, but there's a lot of other physical evidence that people can look at that's legit, and they just don't want to share it with the world, I guess, right now. Or you're not meant to know. You don't need to know. But
right. Well, if we compare it to the idea of, like, the UFO things that are going on right now, like, people have been talking for centuries about UFOs, and, you know, it's been, you know, officially, like, that's not a thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, in the last couple of months, like, oh, yeah, it's a thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so we'll just wait for the official, you know, report on Sasquatch. We know it's happening.
My, like, one thing about the Sasquatch where I'm like, okay, this doesn't make sense to me, is where do they go when they die? Like, do we find a skeleton? Or
how come you're asking all my questions before I can ask them?
I'm sorry.
I'm guessing they go deep in the brush, and they've found structures and mounds of heavy brush that it would take a lot of people a long time to do. They found mounds with giant skeletons in them in Ohio and all different parts of the country, actually. That doesn't mean it's a Bigfoot. But they all went to the Smithsonian Institution and never saw the light of day, and then they just disappeared. So that's a theory, too. But plus, there's no bones of anything you find out there. Everything gets picked apart by different animals that are eating on it. And they had a study they did, a full deer carcass freshly killed. They staked it down and put a time-lapse camera on it. And within 30 days, there wasn't a sign of it, because there was just all these different critters coming in and eating on it, pulling bones away. A lot of rodents gnawing the bones. So it's just, I've never found a bone of anything out there. Not that I've gone out so much, but you would think in 16 years of doing this that I'd find at least one bone of something. But I've never seen a bear. I've seen a couple moose, tons of deer. But I know they're out there. There's bears all over Massachusetts. But the odds of seeing them are not good unless you're staked up in a chair and sitting and waiting for hours. But
that's true. I never want to see a bear, so I'm
good with that. They're gonna see you a mile or smell you a mile before you even. They're long gone.
Yeah, so, they. If you want to see a bear, just leave some food out while you're camping. You'll see a bear.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. We've done that. We'll have an area where they will go. We'll put stuff away from the camp. You know, any extra stuff, anything you've cooked, fruit, watermelon, if they go anywhere, they'll go over there. So you won't, don't ever keep it with you. It's a good tip.
Okay, so tell us about Squatchachusetts. How did it start? What are you guys about? Because it seems fun. Like, all your shirts are very fun. It just seems like a lot of fun.
We do. We have a lot of fun. My partner, John Woke, he kind of started it. He's established it 8 years ago. It's been going strong. It seems like it's even picked up some steam. There's actually been some recent sightings out west in Mass. And it's just a group of like-minded people that joins up now. We have a lot of members on Facebook, but actual people that come out and go out. It's growing. Each year there's someone new that wants to go out. And we always welcome people to go out with us. I always tell people 9 times out of 10, you're not going to hear or see anything. But it's that one time that you might be in the right place at the right time. If they feel like being a little friendly, they'll let you know they're there. But it's hit or miss. It's like a shot in the dark, just like fishing. You could fish all day and not catch a fish, but I just like the opportunity to try. Usually fail. But the times it does happen, you get really like a chill. Your hair goes up on your arm and your adrenaline flows pretty good. and you get a little wired all night that you're like, wow, did you hear that? Because it is so rare.
And as your adrenaline rushes and you're having the chills and the goosebumps and, you know, all of a sudden your fingers are all twitchy.
You camera out
to get the picture of the thing, right?
Yeah. I've heard from some people that have seen it. The emotions that have happened is people literally wet themselves.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot from a lot of researchers, actually, that it was so close that you were so, you know, in your fight or flight.
Yep.
So I get the hell out of, you know, this is something you've been looking for and calling in. Now it's right there. But your body just is going to jolt and, you get excited. So a lot of people have ran, cried. A lot of people have nightmares. A lot of witnesses that weren't actually looking for it get traumatized over it. And they go to a lot of these conferences, though it's therapeutic for them. To talk about it and be able to talk, they're not going to get laughed at. And I've seen so many people talk about it, and you can see them almost reliving it there. They hear what they'll say, I'll never forget it. Usually everyone will say it changed their life. They'll never look at the world the same way because there's something out there that's kind of like us, big and fearsome but elusive, and, you know, you can go anywhere tonight and bring it up. Nine out of 10 people are going to laugh at you. Or, you know, the typical, it's a guy in a suit, it's tabloid. So you
right.
get up.
Yep. Like, yeah, and we don't pay any attention to those 9 out of 10 people.
Exactly.
We go with the like-minded people who think that there are things going on out there that just because we haven't seen it with our own eyes, that can actually still exist.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
And what is your group's kind of like end game with this? Are you hoping to get a photo? Do you want to prove it to the world? Do you just want to prove it to yourselves?
We're not out to prove it to the world, but we think a lot of us have had experiences enough that we are drawing them in a little closer. I mean, you're not going to get them to come out and pose for you, and it's not devil. But, it's just the thrill of the chance of it. When most people dismiss it, it's the chance of, you know what, believing in or going and looking. It's just having faith in something that, you know, I want to believe it. Like I said, I've heard them. I've seen trees snapped right in front of me. But I haven't seen it, so I can't say yes, I saw one. I can't say that, but I know people that have that will say, you know what, once you do, it changes your whole perspective. And I probably would stop doing it. So, but a lot of people, especially in our group, it's the camaraderie of going out, camping, getting a fire going, you know, just doing camping stuff, just doing stuff you do at camp and not helping, you know, with all this gear and high tech, trying, because you're not going to outsmart it. So, past few years, we've been more trying to bring it in. And I think it makes them more curious because you're not out there, you know, if you're not doing the, if you're not going to tree, sometimes we get a knock on our first knock, but that's it. Because they're going to know yours isn't them, and it's a human trying to play with me, so it shows over. All lights, you don't shine lights towards it. You're kind of more people that I've had heard have had good action as you're kind of doing something else. They're not Bigfoot people. They're playing music by the fire, singing, dancing. There's been a ton of reports of people I know that had in Virginia that had a lot of stuff happening. They noticed it was only when the family would come over and the kids would run around the farm. So the kids playing and the noise, and they'd always have a sighting that night or that day. It actually come through their yard while there was people. It was in the winter, but kids out playing, snowball fights. They had a horse and sleigh taking kids around the farm, and this thing went right up through the middle and into the woods. So very fast, but if we wanted to, it could have just stayed hidden and gone the other way. I think sometimes they almost want to interact, but like, hey, look at me, I'm right here, and run right through. And
so I have like a slight theory that I just developed right now in the moment about that particular story. So the Bigfoot would only come by when the kids were there and out in the yard playing.
I wouldn't say only, but it seemed like that's what had the that's when they had the most activity.
Okay, so and can we really determine if the Bigfoot is a male or a female?
Oh yeah, yeah,
they're both.
If you look at the Patterson film, as a female. I don't know if you've seen it now with the modern enhancements. It's very detailed now, and you can see the breasts. You can see it moving up and down. And yeah, some people have reported it. They could tell it was a male. Some can tell it was obviously a woman.
Okay.
Like a woman.
Well, and, so then I wonder if this one that went through the farm here is actually a mother Bigfoot who maybe lost her baby Bigfoot and is coming to, like, you know, just enjoys the children, or a more nefarious interpretation could include was looking for an unattended child who they could have scooped up and
Yeah, a lot of people have said that too. If it wanted to hurt me, it could have, because I was right there. Yep. 10 feet in front of them, and which is very traumatic on sightings that are, you know, you're on the highway and it runs across the road. Yeah, you're safe, you're in a car, but some people have seen it in the yards.
Well, yeah, you're safe, you're in a car, but it's like a moose. You're seeing a moose on the highway, you know, like, if you hit it, you're dead.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, so.
Yeah, that'd do some damage.
Yeah, so that makes me think that the Sasquatch is probably even bigger and stronger than a moose.
Oh,
if,
yeah.
If you're able to hit it with your car, you can, like, really, like, keep moving and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the female in the Patterson film was 7.5 feet tall, so. A lot of males, people have estimated at 10 feet or 11 feet.
Wow.
Heavier than a moose, heavier than any big animal that's out there that we know of in North America. But really, like, dwarfing a grizzly bear, which is huge, but sizable weight. And
if I stood on my own shoulders, I would still not be that tall.
Yeah. Yeah, the strides, the long strides, 6 foot, 6.5 foot strides over a course of a quarter mile up a hill. A person, even with, you can even tell they weren't wooden planks on their feet, but even if it was, there's no way they could carry a 6.5 foot stride uphill in the winter. It's just impossible.
Right. Yeah.
Even for Shaq or anyone like that.
Interesting. That's a really long stride.
I know. I'm trying to, like,
I'm doing the exact same thing you're doing. I'm trying to, like, envision, like, how big is that? And I mean, like, when you think about, like, professional football players running up the field, I mean, they're usually taking what, a yard and a half in a stride?
Yeah. And they're running and stretching. Yeah.
Right. Even that's not 6 feet.
Yeah. No. So what would be?
And we're close to 6 feet. So
no.
It'd probably be like two of my strides. I'm not that big. I'm only like 5'8", 5'9", but it'd be like two to three of my steps for one of their steps if they were in full stride running. Mm-hmm. There's been a few sighting reports where it's just crossed the road on one, comes out of the tree, one step on the road and across.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, I don't know if you're familiar with Finding Bigfoot TV show.
I'm not. I don't
know. Well, anyways. There was a guy that
I might have seen. Was that on, like, years and years ago?
Yeah, it's still on now. They're showing it again on Animal Planet.
Okay, yeah, I might have caught that years ago.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy that did all the recreations. It's James Frey Bobo, and he's a big guy. And it took him two or three steps across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And the witness was right there. He said, no, this crossed in one bound. One step into the road and one step into the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So they can cover some ground. Their extreme agility is amazing because of their size and weight.
Mm-hmm.
They've been clocked at 30 to 40 miles an hour. Yeah, they can run. They've been seen chasing deer down and catching deer, and a deer can scoop.
What? I'm trying to remember in my own head which animals are known to be able to run like 30 miles an hour.
Well, a cheetah or something like that.
Can a cheetah
run 60 miles an hour?
Yeah, cheetahs are fast, and gazelles.
They've been seen running on all fours.
So a cheetah can run 50 to 80 miles an hour.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's fast.
Horses.
Well, I think that is the fastest animal on land animal.
Yeah. So if people wanted to see people in New England, say they're into this, they want to see a Bigfoot, where are the best places around New England one could go?
Well, I'd say Central, Western Mass, New Hampshire, Maine. There's sightings in all these states in New England. Actually, like I said, it's widespread across into New York, Pennsylvania, and especially New York, just an hour's north of New York City, the Catskill Mountains. There's been a lot of activity. There's some great video taken there. They call it the baby footage. There's actually a baby in the tree. You can see it swinging around like it's on a trapeze, and just something a human couldn't do. And now the enhancements, you can see a large body walking along and the little one hops off it into the tree, and then it starts. And that was taken by accident. That wasn't a researcher. That was just someone that was shooting video in the parking lot of a concert, and it was up on the hill watching them. And someone watching the film, I want to say almost 10 years later, noticed it up in the tree. So that's what it took for that. That is, if someone was hoaxing this, why did they wait 10 years? They didn't know they had it. And someone watching the tape at their house noticed it. And what the heck is that? And they kept playing it back and playing it back. And a lot of primate experts now are saying that it definitely can't be a kid or a person. It's either an escaped ape or it is a Sasquatch buzzing around the tree. And like I said, they can see it jump off the large object, and now they see it swinging around. So, but if you like, going back to your question, I don't mean to ramble. Around here in New England, Vermont, there's a ton of stuff in Vermont. Any of your hiking trails, the Green Mountains of Vermont, the White Mountains of New Hampshire, Maine is notorious for Mount Katahdin. All northern Maine up into Canada has a really long history. And up there, they had different names for it also, all the Native Americans. Massachusetts, like I said, we've had stuff to the BFRO, just last week, a sighting on Mount Tom, the Seven Sisters.
I actually read that. If you go to your Facebook page, you can see the link right to it.
Yes. Yep. That's hot off the press. Like, recent to us is, months ago, so, to get something that happened last week, and two experienced hikers, women that they know what they saw. Oh, they didn't see it, but they knew something was following them. Stick snapping, some grunts here and there, whooping. They heard whistling, which is reported a lot, the way of whistling. But it never came out, never bothered them, but they call it paralleling, a lot of, which we call it in researches. They will follow you, literally follow you out, almost guiding you out to make sure you leave. And unless you did something foolish, or that's just my opinion too. If there's a lot of examples of, if they wanted to cause you harm, they could just come right out and grab you.
Mm-hmm. Have there been any reports of an attack?
Really not. Not many that I can think of. There is an old report from the 1920s. Prospector in Canada was zipped up in his sack, and he was carried for hours. He was just picked up. He had no idea where he was. And he finally, hours later, was in a cave, and he saw four of these people. The man, the father, the mother, a younger female, and a younger male. And I think they had him for like 2 days. They never bothered him, but they sat around him and examined him and kept looking at him. And I'm trying to think how he got away. He gave the thing, he kept coming into the guy's pack, and he gave him anything. All he had left was coffee, a can of coffee. So he handed it to the thing, and instead of smelling it, the thing just drank the can of coffee and got sick and staggered into the bushes, and that was his chance. He got up and left. I mean, that's his story. That's his account. But that's been handed down. Third generation of his family still swear to it. And he was a, that's just his word.
Wow. Yeah, that's very cool.
So, I mean, if you just Google Bigfoot attack, there's books on it. There's articles written on it. There's YouTube videos of people who are, and I just did it right now, and so I'm not actually watching any of the videos. But yeah, there's a lot of claims out there about different attacks that have happened. And so I don't know if they're as violent necessarily as we would think of an attack being, or if it's more just a Bigfoot encounter. But yeah, we would have to actually like dig in and watch those videos. But
there was been a couple.
Like, there's a lot of it going on out there.
There has been a couple where, I'm not saying it never happens, but it's very rare. But, you know, 8 or 9 times out of 10, they see a human, they're going to just take off.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those cases, weird cases. We don't know if it's, they could have a brain injury, there could be inbreeding. There's been down in the south, there's a lot of four-toed tracks found, which you probably think it's something inbreeding, and they seem, a totally different attitude. They have a totally different, more fearsome, more intimidating, more likely to get you the heck out of there in a hurry. Whereas a lot of other areas, it's just a fleeting glimpse. Mm-hmm. You see, as soon as they know they're seen, they're just gone.
How many toes do they usually have?
Usually 5 fingers, 5 toes. Oh. Designed very much like a human.
Hmm.
I think I've always said they're closer to man than any other animal that we do know of, even gorillas and apes. So, yeah, it's just mind-boggling that you can't put your finger on it. No one has decided to come forward. And because they could, like we were saying earlier, the UFOs, these have been seen in the forest fires. They've had to put a couple down, actually, because they were damaged from the fire. A couple of them they actually helped and saved and hauled them off. There's another report of a logging truck hit one in Oregon or Washington, I'm not sure, that, you know, all the people that happened that stopped, they all stopped. This thing was in this road. And within minutes, the sheriff was there. And before you know it, there was cars in there. They had it cordoned off. They had all the people off the scene. Even the sheriff couldn't get in there. And a flatbed truck come in with a big top. Something got hauled off. No one ever knew what it was, but the driver swore to it that that's what it was. And other people that were there on the road that saw it. I mean, too many people saw it. But again, that's where they'll say, you bring that up. You're crazy. It'll always have that stigma of tabloid, trash, hoax made up, you name it.
Well, you know, like they said in Men in Black, right? Like you go to the hot pages. You know, the tabloids, they get the information first.
Yep.
They get the stuff that nobody else really wants to believe and wants to print. But it doesn't make it any less true.
Yeah. I think they know. There's been even former forestry workers, usually most law enforcement, a lot of law enforcement, well, actually a lot of law enforcement researchers now, that they don't really get involved till they retire, because it is not good for your job reputation or your career if you're known to be involved in this. So a lot of people keep it on the sly, don't want to get involved. But I know a lot of former law enforcement government workers that, oh yeah, they're out there, they know, but they're never going to tell you. So I think people would panic. I think you know, you wouldn't want to go out and rent a campsite, would you, tomorrow, if you knew these things are in the woods?
No. No, yeah. I would not. But in all fairness, I don't want to rent a campsite anyway.
Yeah, me either.
I'm more a city, stay in a hotel, get a little breakfast, sort of
a little cabin.
Yeah. Gonna stay dry, as long as you stay dry.
and right, bug free.
So, Beth, do you have any final questions?
Oh, let's see. What did I write down here in all of my notes as I went through? So one of the things that I remember hearing about Bigfoots when I was little and I was just starting to get involved in a lot of this stuff is that they'll do things like actually to keep people out. Like if you encroach on their territory and their land, they'll come back and do things like they rip down the trees and they'll like lay them across the driveway so you can't drive your car back in. Have you anything? I mean, I know that you said that you've had a couple of different Class B experiences, but have you run into anything like that where
something's out of place?
Yeah, well, you could actively tell that they were trying to prevent you from coming in.
I haven't personally experienced that, but I know several people have told me that, like, if they're, especially if they're in there for 3 or 4 days, they come out on the way out, because sometimes we go in for miles and miles, but I know some people that have, they come out, there's a couple logs across the road where you just can't, how did they get there, you know?
Right, and because it's clear they didn't just fall, because suddenly, and it's not just like one log across the road, it's like a couple of trees have been ripped out and placed across the road.
I think they're sending a message.
Yeah.
That, since the state won't put a gate here, we will.
We might not have one of those paper titles to this land, but you know, it's ours anyway. Yeah, I think, like I said, Amelia was asking all of my questions before I got a chance to answer them. But yeah, I was really excited to have the chance to talk with you today.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. This was really cool. And if people want to get involved with Squatchachusetts, should they just go to your Facebook group?
Yes, we have a Facebook group. And like I said, we're always willing to take people out or just if they want to follow, you know, what we're doing. Our recent sighting reports are on there, and we'll be on there.
And people just post fun stuff on there, too. I'm in the group, and I really like it.
yeah, it's a fun group. Not so stuffy or, you know, we just want people to have fun. You come out with us, the funny shirts, the funny, like you said, the swag.
It's just
a lot of fun. We'll have, because of the virus, we're going to have a big event in October, but obviously not this year. We'll have one next year, Squatchtoberfest.
Nice.
It'll be a weekend with a lot of the experts in the field and a lot of the scientists presentations and all kinds of stuff.
Well, let us know. We'll be there.
Yeah, definitely. We'll usually post or announce if we're going to have an outing. Like I said, this year with the virus, there's not as much, but with stuff going on, which seems to happen a lot in the fall, late summer and fall, that we're going to try and get out this year. We'll keep social distancing and the good time of year to get out there.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. Let us know what you find. And we really, really, really appreciate you coming on to the show.
Thank you so much.
It was so great to meet you.
You too, Amelia. You too, Beth.
Yeah, no, this was really great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Enjoy your Labor Day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, too.
Wow, that was so much fun. Thank you so much again to Dave McCullough. That was awesome and a lot of fun. Who knew that there were so many Bigfoot sightings around here?
When you had originally suggested that we have, and I, of course, have written them down as Sasquatchachusetts, but that is incorrect. It is Squatchachusetts?
Squatchachusetts.
Squatchachusetts, which is surprisingly difficult to say. I was like, how many Bigfoot are really in Massachusetts? Because that, I wasn't serious. I wasn't kidding when I was like, you know, well, you think of Sasquatch, you think of like Montana, like the northwestern part of the United States and, you know, up into like BC in Canada, like Alberta, like the Western Canada region, because there's so many forests out there. I never thought about there being a Bigfoot in, you know, Springfield.
Yeah.
But yeah, that report that just got put on the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, the BFRO, was from August 30th or 31st. So like 4 days ago from when we're recording this.
Wild stuff.
I know. Crazy.
But we found, we didn't find, we got a lot of reviews and a lot of stories this week.
Woohoo!
Yay. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's do reviews first.
All right.
Let's hear what people love about us first.
Curtis, 10 of 10.
You can give us 10 stars?
That's his screen name, Curtis, 10 of 10.
Oh, okay.
I found your podcast recently and couldn't be happier. I love ghost stories and I love New England. us too. I enjoy hearing your stories and your experiences, and it makes me miss my trips to New England. We have some great ghosts here in Florida, but no one can beat New England for its ghostly atmosphere. Thanks for the fantastic show. Well, thank you, Curtis 10 of 10. That is very encouraging.
Thank you, Curtis 10 of 10. And I think that you're right. There is nothing quite as spooky as those autumn evenings right after the sun goes down, where maybe you can see a little mist rising, but it's still warm enough that you can go out, but maybe cool enough that you'd like to have a sweater or a fire going. But yeah, those are definitely some spooky nights. Don't shake your head at me. Don't shake your head.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about autumn. I am so happy that it's fall. I am.
Me too. Yeah.
And it was too hot today, and I just needed to be cool already. Next up.
Next, we have one on Facebook from Kristen McBride.
Did you know that you could leave us reviews on Facebook?
You can leave us reviews anywhere.
And anywhere. We will actually find most of them. Amelia goes out of her way to go around and search down who's talking about us.
I need so much attention and like, people saying nice things about me. And I don't always get that at work, and I need it from the podcast. Okay. I have passed my love of all things ghostly and bump in the night on to my daughters, who are 7 and 11. We love watching shows and listening to stories about ghosts. We happened across this podcast recently, and it is our go-to now. We are often in the car driving from activity to activity, and this fun and informative way to share our common interests. I also love that it's not so scary that I'm woken in the middle of the night by a 7-year-old with nightmares. My kids love the banter between you guys, and we love all the adventures you share. Great job. Well, thank you so much, Kristen. That is really, really nice. And hello to your daughters. Hi, girls.
So, Kristen McBride, I have to tell you that this, like, has, like, made my life. Okay. So I have to back up a little bit, because when I was a kid, I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I started to get really interested in paranormal stuff. I was really into the idea of, UFOs and aliens, the idea about, ESP and different, like, telepathies. I was, like, obsessed with it. And so the idea that Amelia and I started this goofy little podcast to talk about ghost stories, and your kids are the same age that I was, that I got so interested in this, and we are now able to pass, you know, our shared enjoyment of all the stuff paranormal onto your young people, I am just like so amazingly thrilled. And I think that this, it goes to, you're not the first person who's written in that's been like, hey, you know, there are kids listening here. And I just absolutely love that. Amelia, I love that we have like kids that listen to us, because.
Yeah, we're really great.
I mean, we are, but even more than that, like it's just something that, you know, I mean, obviously with social media and all the stuff, like people can get their information in a lot of places now. I was only able to get my paranormal information from, you know, books when I was little, but like this, I just am so happy to be able to pass this on to a new generation of people who can also enjoy it as much as we do.
New generation of spooky chicks. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So. In response to our pleas for more of your drive-by ghostings, we were lucky enough to get one from Deanne that's called a fly-by ghosting. Hi, guys. And I think by that she means girls.
Hi.
Hi. You asked if anyone had footage of a fly-by ghosting. Well, here you go. This is a clip from a 9-minute video. In the video, at least a dozen cars pass by, and never once do you see anything until I physically walk up to the window. And when I looked up after pulling the post back, because I didn't want any reflections, I saw a beam of light come down my lawn before it flashed in the window. I have the original footage to compare. I set it up and walked away, and I only went back to move the fence post. I'll also include another light anomaly and watch the center window of the second clip. So she sent us two clips, one from YouTube and one is an actual clip that she emailed us. So the first one is called Ghostly Light Show, and that you can find this one on YouTube. So let me tell you really quick what it looks like. It's only 4 seconds long. yeah, I don't see it. So if you see it, do you want to describe it? I don't see anything happen. There's like a little like spinny thing going on, but.
Okay, so the first one's just in like a dining room area, and you can see the reflection in the window, and you can see an overhead fan. And then there's this, if you watch carefully, you have to be careful. It's almost as if this light goes from the bottom of the window up in like a half moon shape to the other side. Now, I'm not sure what this is. I can't tell. This to me, it could be anything, right? But it is strange. And then the second one, Beth, do you want to describe this one?
Sure. So the second one is a clip that's about 14 seconds long, and you see who I assume is Deanne. She goes over in front of the window, and it's almost moving in slow motion. But there's a light outside the window, and you see a car drive by, and then a light comes like rushing up the front of her lawn, and it like peeks right in the window on the left. And then it disappears. It takes maybe a second and a half, and it's right toward the end of the clip. But there's, I can watch it again real quick. But again.
And actually, if you look at the drapes in that one, you can see something kind of like floating around the drapes as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There is like a little orb that floats from right to left across the screen, pretty much right before the yes. light comes rushing up from the yard.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty cool videos. So, thank you so much, Deanne, for sending those.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so now we switch over to Facebook for our next spooky tale, which is from Mike. Hey, Mike. Mike and I are Facebook friends, too. Add me on Facebook, everyone. This is an experience I once had at a cemetery. A little bit of background on me. I never drank alcoholic beverages until I was 22 years old. I was in a strict religious sect. And so I had never experienced being drunk at the time this happened. A friend and I were visiting our mutual friend in a town just a few hours from our own. The three of us decided to walk around in a cemetery around 10 or 11 p.m. We told the obligatory ghost stories, then began looking around on our own, slowly wandering away from each other into the darkness. I have always tried my best to avoid stepping on graves and buried folks, and so I was walking very slowly, mostly making my way around by feeling in the dark. When I was making my way, I came upon an area that seemed no different from the rest of the cemetery, but definitely made me feel different. I instantly felt flushed and warm, and my brain slowed down as if my thoughts were suddenly clouded. The few silhouettes around me that I could make out seemed to spin, making me feel dizzy, and I started feeling nauseous. I also lost my balance and remember distinctly being concerned I might stumble and step on a grave. I got back to the pathway as soon as I could. Just as instantaneously, I felt the strange sensations come on. They melted away the very second I stepped out of the area. Well, I was quite spooked now, so I rushed back to my friends, and we left shortly after. It was only later in life, when I got drunk for the very first time, that I realized that all the sensations I experienced coincided with the way I felt at 2 a.m. at the close of a Friday bender. The stagger, the flushed hot face, and the slogging thoughts, even the spins. Sincerely, Kosher Leviathan.
Wow. Thanks for sending that.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so we have one more. All right, so this is another one that came in through email, and this is from Joe.
Spooky.
Joe's not a scary name.
Spooky.
I don't think there are any scary names.
Well, I was joking Agatha. About Joe.
Agatha.
Agatha's very spooky.
I think so, yeah. I think that if I were to meet someone in person named Agatha, I'm sure they would be a lovely, lovely individual. But secretly, in the back of my mind, I would be waiting for them to put a hex on me. Okay, so this one's from Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Dear Ghost Hunters, I love your podcast and wanted to share my most memorable ghost sighting. I grew up on the Cape in Kootuit in a house that was haunted, but that's not where I saw this spirit. I was 11 or 12 at the time, and my family was at a cranberry bog off Newton Road. We would all hang out near the pond while water skiing. Anytime we would spend the day at this bog, my father or one of my uncles would find stone arrowheads in the sand. On one particular Saturday, someone told me to look and pointed across the bog. There, in the middle of the day, on the far side of the bog, was a Native American on horseback riding down the dirt road. Clear as day, I can remember the horse, the colorful blanket draped across its back and as a saddle, and the shirtless native wearing a feathered headdress. At the time, it was fascinating that someone would be riding around dressed like that. I tried to get someone's attention. I can't remember who it was, but I looked away for a second, and when I looked back, the rider was gone. I remember going around the bog in an attempt to find where he had gone. There was a path that led off the side of the bog, but it was 100 yards or so where the rider was when he vanished. No way he could have made it in the time I had looked away. Thanks for taking the time to read my story, Joe.
Good story, Joe.
That is a really good story.
That was very good.
I mean, a full apparition, and not only of a humanoid, but also a horse, like full color and everything. That.
Well, and that was the other thing I was really thinking about, is like, if it's a person and they slink away, maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't, right? Maybe the person slunk away. A horse is not going to slink away. Like, you're not going to not hear the horse.
Right. It's like, where did it come from? Where did it go to? I feel like I should have sang that, actually.
I was going to say, because his name's Joe.
What?
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cottonhead Joe.
I had no idea that's what the words of that were. Anyway, yeah, but like to have the horse there. Also, Joe, I'm just going to say, I think it's a bit of a tease to tell us that you grew up in a haunted house and not tell us the haunted house stories.
More stories, more stories, more stories.
So we're going to start an online petition for Joe to send us his stories from his house. So please, Joe, send us your stories from your house. Please record yourself telling one of your stories and send it in to us.
Make it
anybody
an
else
MP3,
has stories.
MP3 format under 3 minutes.
If anybody else has stories, they can send them via MP3 format. Keep it under 3 minutes. Email it to ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. And we will be happy to play your voice. Daniel in Australia, I'm looking at you.
Yeah,
even though I can't see you right now in my mind's eye, I'm looking at you all the way in Australia saying, why haven't we? We're like halfway through season 3 here, and we have no Daniel stories.
All right. Well,
calling you out.
So our social media, you can find us online at ghosthuntinginnewengland.com, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginnewengland, on Instagram @ghosthuntinginnewengland, Twitter, ghosthuntingNE. Let's get those Twitter followers up, people. As always, send us a message, reach out. Oh, and 5-star reviews, please. We need some more. Please, 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 please feed my ego. We need some 5-star reviews. So, don't send us 4 stars. Don't send us 3 stars. I'm not even gonna put words on the other options because I don't want it to manifest. Please.
Wait, five stars. Like shirtless pictures?
No shirtless pictures. All right. So, yeah, that's it. I hope everyone has a great rest of their Wednesday. We will see you next week. We got a really cool episode next week, but we're gonna keep it on hush hush. So, yeah, tune in next week. And as always,
happy hunting.